With Rod Kaya, we live in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Fort Collins, Colorado.
And at a church called Crossroads Church, where I serve as the operations director.
So what was your journey? Before that, you were...
I have 20 plus years of pastoral ministry experience, and I served at a great church called Horizon Christian Fellowship San Diego.
The RV's parked at the Purpose Driven Essentials Conference. The title of our conversation was... Is it even possible to lead up? You and I were having a phone conversation.
That's right. That's right.
I was driving the RV through Denver.
That's right.
And we started this conversation randomly about how difficult it is for leaders who have vision, for leaders who are somewhere in the system or in the stream of their church. You know, you hear the principle leading up. Can I lead this thing up? And you and I had an interesting conversation about it.
Well, I think here's a thought I think that I would want to kind of share. I think regardless of how good an organization is, an organization is never perfect. So there will always be maybe a department or two that might have some challenges.
Okay, that's fair.
And if you find yourself in that respective department, even though there might be good traction in other areas, mm-hmm. those one or two pockets might have some challenges. But yeah. even in the most challenging environments, usually there is a bright spot within the organization.
So good. And I've experienced that.
Yeah, I think many of us have. So when I said that, I think I'm not sure if it's possible. I think it's to what depth or... to what degree
to
you
what
would
impact.
Want yeah to how far you believe your leadership can influence a particular organization. I think if we begin with the most baseline idea of whether or not leading up is possible, so let's get very, very pragmatic.
Okay, here we go. This is why I'm excited.
So I think the most pragmatic level, I can't even remember who the influential leader that shared this, and Mingo, you've probably heard this, and given the circles that you've been a part of this, that, you know, honor publicly gives you influence privately.
Oh, that's really good.
Okay, so
can you just say that again?
Yeah,
so
honor publicly usually gives you the right to have influence privately.
That's excellent.
And so I think when we first think about leading up, I think that's one of the baseline principles. But Mingo, I don't mean to divert here, but I got to share this story.
Okay,
I think
it's very
helpful because there was a time when I was interviewing with a church that was over 100 years old,
okay.
and they were very rich in tradition, and they were looking to make a shift in how they approach their programming.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the concerns is that as they were looking at potential candidates, I was one of the younger candidates, and mm-hmm. part of the reason why they had me in that particular dynamic to candidate for the role was they were looking to make a shift.
They were looking to make a shift. When you say you were younger, how young are you?
In the 30s.
Okay, so yeah.
But 30s, and you got to think, it's over 100-year-old that has a very traditional model of doing the church, yet
it's
very influential.
Yeah.
So one of the things is that you're looking at the search team, and I was on a conference call with a group of elders and
uh-huh,
leaders.
Uh-huh.
Majority of them have been tenured in that church and maybe
right.
even represented a voice of maybe the constituents that, you know, are open and they want the change and at the same time have some reservations.
Right, right,
okay.
right, right.
So one of the things is I remembered a story that was in this book called The Brazilian Life by Gordon Peterson.
The Brazilian Life.
The Resilient Life by Gordon McDonald.
Okay.
Resilient Life.
And if you're writing down book titles, The Resilient Life.
The Resilient Life. But he's probably most notable for the book Ordering Your Private World.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then he would later write a church called Who Stole My Church.
He wrote a book called Who Stole My Church.
Yeah, and it's again dealing with transitions between younger
wow.
and older generations.
Wow.
But here's something that Gordon mentioned. He said that he went in the book The Resilient Life, he went to a worship conference.
Okay.
And it became pretty obvious to him that the majority of the people were all under the age of 30
huh.
at this worship leading conference.
Okay.
And so as he addressed this particular group, this is so brilliant, the insight, and the takeaway was invaluable because I shared this with this particular group of elders that
okay.
were interviewing me. He shared with this group of young worship leaders. He said, you know, I believe that youth and the emerging generation will always drive the music.
Okay.
So okay. that's why we always have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's the right place. But he said, what I would also be mindful of is that you would just be mindful that, yes, we want to support you in the effort, but just be mindful for where the rest of the congregation may be. So he said, the great thing about the worship songs today, and I'm going to tie this all back.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, he said, the great thing about the worship music today is very ambitious because when you're young, you believe that you have the whole future in front of you.
Yeah, you have a lofty faith.
Very ambitious. You believe you can do anything with God.
Yeah.
All things are possible
yeah.
with God. But what he said, though, is really insightful. He says, but at every once in a while, I would ask that in the style and the flavor of music that makes sense to the current generation, maybe introduce a song that gives us hope, because on Christ the solid rock I stand,
mm-hmm.
all other else is sinking sand.
Yeah.
So the idea being is that for some of us are maybe looking at our twilight years.
Oh, that's such a good point.
You know, looking at our twilight years, that we can say, you know what, I still have a rock solid faith I can hold on to.
There's something solid.
Solid. So even though the majority of my life, my best years, or, you know, maybe my some of my years or ambitious years are gone, I still have a solid rock I can lean on to. So the reason I bring that up is I think that we cannot help but have to give respect. I think respect is at the foundation in our ability, honoring people publicly, and that it gives us the ability to lead.
That's really good. What are some practical ways that you can pay honor to a guy who is in the senior role?
So when you're talking about a leader that is trying to pay homage to a senior leader, I would say, when I say public, it's anytime there's two or more people.
That's
so,
really great.
So it could be a staff meeting.
So
it,
no place is too small if there's somebody else.
Yes, I think that's the general rule, that I think anytime there's another person present, you always want to honor the senior leader. And I think also the private influence, again, I think gives an opportunity, because then the leader's not at a defense. He's at a much relaxed posture.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think the key thing is that the leader, I think, in a public setting is can be often thrown off guard if you introduce something.
Oh, it's happened to me before. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know how that is.
I got a great idea. Or you go, you know what's not working?
Yeah, and even
at the round table with all the pastors.
Exactly, exactly. We know how that goes. And Mingo, even our intention was, we don't even think we're trying to lead up. We're just we just think that we're throwing out an idea.
Sensing that it could be a collaborative moment when it's actually not.
It's not. Exactly. So I think in those particular settings, I think that when you the senior leader is a much more relaxed posture.
That's good.
And he's at a position where, yes, he can say, you know what? I'm open to what we have to say.
That's really good.
And I also think, too, asking for permission.
Yeah, and that's a foreign concept too, to ask permission, which is a huge honor act.
Exactly.
Right? Instead of telling,
hey, so,
I'm going to go here.
So I think, you know, one of the principles that I learned several years ago in a leadership setting, and Bill Hybels was the one that first introduced this idea. He said, in organization thinking, he said that, you know, one of the languages they used is the last 10%.
Yes, I'm familiar with this. Unpack it, because it's really strong.
So I think the idea of the last 10% is this. Whenever there's a situation that might need some corrective feedback or maybe an additional position, the initial 90% is pretty obvious to everyone.
Yeah, everybody can kind of can describe the dysfunction up to the 90-degree mark.
Yeah, the 90-degree. So I think everyone can state that. But the last 10% oftentimes can speak to maybe motive, it can often speak to maybe where the hard truth needs to be spoken.
Yeah.
But using that principle, not just for the last 10%, but even asking for permission, something as simple as, hey, you know, regarding this current initiative, you know, do you have permission to maybe share a couple other thoughts of maybe a couple different directions we can take?
Right.
Now, something as simple as that, as using kindness and manners, actually can earn you a lot.
But the 10% is all, wasn't it? The 10% is like the final truth.
Yeah, it's the final thing that usually speaks to motive.
Yeah, the final, that's like the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, but see, I think the point I'm trying to make with that, Mingo, is I think we use it for those extreme situations. I'm saying that we can use it in the most normal of conversations.
Oh, and then that becomes normative.
Normative. Yeah, if I'm talking with a senior leader, I say, hey, you know, do I have permission to maybe share some thoughts?
Yeah, that's good.
And it's not, when I say that, it's not that the leader I'm speaking with is so
off
or defensive. I think that person, but I think just that little statement of respect goes a long way, and I think it puts down their posture.
And you've experienced this personally.
Oh, always. And it's become secondhand, where anytime I want to give some kind of potential feedback that may not question the idea or maybe draw attention to maybe another way of looking at something, especially when I know the senior leader is very passionate about it. I just use that term. Hey, do I have permission here to share a few other thoughts?
It just affords you a small platform to speak your piece.
I think if genuinely that the original motivation for you to want to share the perspective or the variance of maybe a different way of looking at something, if you're genuinely were thinking of the best of the organization.
Yes, yes.
I think that you truly do celebrate the fact that the senior leader has owned it and has made it his own.
That it's implemented regardless of origins.
And also, the key thing with that is that if the senior leader is the one that's propagating and sharing it, his own idea, which it actually is his own idea, because he has to own it in his own heart
that's
and mind.
That's fair. That's 100% fair.
You know, so even if you lay it on the table, Mingo, I would rarely say, even if the way he or she took that particular idea is never going to be exactly the way you and I.
True, because it's translated.
It's translated. It's put through a filter of his own, you know, mind and experience, his or her mind and experiences. Therefore, I think that becomes their idea at that point.
That's hard. That's hard. That's, for me.
It's, I know, well, it's really hard, but I think, but I think again, if we truly, you know,
if the organization, let's call it the church, it could be a business, yeah. But if the organization is at the front of everyone's, this has to succeed, then you're okay being anonymous with the like, run. That's a mark of maturity.
That is. And, you know, probably I can say that now at this stage of my life, yeah. But maybe earlier on it was a little bit more difficult, obviously.
Well, I just think to myself, if there's next generation leaders, or if there's leaders in the middle of an organization that are listening and they're frustrated because they've got all these great ideas, they put them on the table, they get adopted, but there's never recognition. You know, the instant return on that, the Christianese is like, in God's time. Wait, your time will come. Or, you know, it's like, hey, for the greater glory. But it's a wrestling match because, you know, you wonder, man, is somebody else, let's say you're a manager above me and you're making calls to the senior guy and I'm giving you the best that I've got. It's hard sometimes to sit on the sidelines while you get praised for the great idea, right?
Okay, so Miguel, now you're bringing up a whole different variable. I think it's one thing when it's...
Suggest it to the guy.
The direct leader is one thing. The highest guy. It's directly to the...
But well, let's unpack that one.
So when it goes to your supervisor, and then the supervisor then passes it off to the senior leader.
And you're not invited to that meeting.
And then the idea that you're nowhere in the conversation or the equation.
Right.
That's can be a little bit more difficult. But here's what I would say to that. Mingo, you've been a part... And I have too, you know, a fast-moving organization.
True.
And so here's something that a leader shared with me. I was in a room with them, and he was working with a team of consultants, and he knew that we were pushing to get this initiative off the ground.
Okay.
And something he shared with me that has stuck with me, and I've used this over and over again.
Okay.
He said, I've learned that in a high-impact church organization to always think the best of one another.
That's so good. That's
to always think the best of one another. And I think that
it keeps the organization running fast.
So even in that situation, you and I have both kind of been in it at different times where the idea gets pushed off as their own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think the best of my supervisor because I know that he's running.
Yeah.
He's trying to get things moved forward. He's happy that the senior leader is open to this idea.
Right. And shouldn't you be happy that the idea is getting put into practice at the end of the day anyways?
Absolutely.
Because I really do believe, even though it sounds so cliche, that you're building a reputation for what you bring to the table. And in a fast organization, it's typically the best idea gets put into place. It's not the supervisor thought of it, the guy who's not the supervisor didn't, so it's not getting put into place. It's the best idea wins.
Yeah, and I think this is where we got to be real, humility has to, so Mingo, you and I have known this, we've been in ministry long enough.
Yeah.
There's no original idea under the sun.
It's so true, everybody steals.
And so if we're really honest with ourselves, here's where I think we got to get to. We may have been the one that discovered the thought.
That's good.
But we're not necessarily the one that created it.
Yeah.
We probably got that idea.
So excellent.
You know, so, and then again, and the challenge today, Mingo, is we are getting how many different content inputs in our life?
Right. How many people are speaking something?
I mean, we're getting things all, we might have just read a tweet and we have no idea who we got it from, but the idea kind of germinated in our mind
and now
we're trying to present it off. We're not giving that person credit either, right?
Man, stay humble.
So, you know, so I guess the challenge, what I'm trying to share is that, you know, I think a lot of times it's a matter of discovery on our part the person's idea.
That's really good.
Rarely have we been the one that actually created it.
Yeah, man, and it's so frustrating, I think, sometimes because if you have leadership in your bones, you're just trying to get to a place where you can lead, period. So if you're, you know, you're submitting to an organization, you're submitting to a system, you're paying deeply into it, you're wondering, man, if I could just be ahead a few clicks, then I could do this better. And the truth of the matter is, do as good as you're capable of doing in the place where you're at, because that's where God's afforded you an opportunity, right?
Well, so absolutely.
For a kid who's not yet a pastor, who thinks, man, if I was just a pastor, then this thing could be 10 times better. My belief is you could make it as good as you want it to be right where you're at. You don't need a position to make you actively engaged in whatever it is that you have an opportunity to be engaged in.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Rarely does the position ever drive anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also too, you know, we think of that one prophet says, a man's gift, makes room for them, brings them before kings and princes. Eventually, if you're faithful, your gifting does win out.
That's great.
And
that's great.
Allows you the opportunity to influence.
I think that gifting put into practice will eat position for breakfast every day. Yeah. So if you've got something and you put it into play, it doesn't matter if you hold the title that says what it is that you're putting into play. If you're doing it as a nobody, eventually it will equate to something with a good enough leader.
Yeah.
Somebody will recognize it, right?
Can I just share one last thought?
Always.
So Mingo, I just got, because this one thought passed into my mind.
Yeah.
You know, we are living in an era where we can access content anytime.
True.
And I think what you just shared is so critically important, because one of the things is young leaders are smart and they can access content better than I could ever in what I was growing up.
Second nature, right?
And so second nature, the way they can digest content, they know how to take it in doses quick. They can extract real key principles out of a quick learning environment. And here's the great thing, though. A lot of these guys are taking these things that we once learned, and now they're applying them in fresh settings, and they're breathing new life into these things.
Yeah.
And if you sit down in a room with younger leaders, you're going to find that they're actually, and I'm not saying this just because of the agreement part, but you're going to find that one of the things that I find so fascinating is that they track a lot more than we think.
Yeah, processing.
Processing. And yeah. But here's the thing. You're getting fresh learning. Like, I got a couple of guys that I'm in regular conversation with, and I can't tell you how much I learned from them.
Totally. Yeah, just the way that they're seeing it, how they apply
it. And even the way they're applying it. I'm taking their ideas all the time now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, there's nothing more exciting than when you get to disciple somebody. You watch them for the first time process, understand something, and you go, that's why I love this. This is why it's so good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I'm hoping that this conversation encouraged some people out there who may be frustrated with the context of ministry or the context of leadership that they're in. And really, some of the, you dropped a ton of great dimes. That's like wisdom. That's what my generation says.
I know.
I just appreciate you, Rod. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you too, Mingo.
For paying into the next generation, for paying into me. You have no idea. Well,
thank you. Very kind. Very kind.
We'll talk to you guys later. You can find more information on Touring with Purpose. That's our blog. You can find more conversations there. And on Rod. Rod's on Instagram. Find him as a consultant, as what is it?
I do Strat Up and Life Plan.
There you go. Yes. Nothing that a 20-year-old is interested in. But what's your Instagram, Strat Up?
At the Strat Life.
At the Strat Life. You can go find Rod and his sports musings there. You can find me at Mingo2 on Instagram. I'm definitely.
What, you don't believe I have a Snapchat account?
No,
you
don't want to.
You
know, I don't even want to know about your Snapchat.
Okay.
And much props to Flat Rick, who was hanging out with us the whole
time. That's right.
I'll talk to you.
Don't be a bother.